7-day intensive seminar, School of the Master, Lecture 4, Using My Thinking to Accomplish Goals. Purpose of Thinking Through Affirmations, How I Create Affirmations Goals, What is the Impact to Create Affirmations Which Are Beneficial to Me, and the Key Ingredients of Effective Affirmations. So, using my thinking to accomplish my goals, the purpose of thinking through affirmations. We have had a lot of illustrations over the years of how affirmations are beneficial to us and how they can change our life and they can do all sorts of wonderful things for us. And we have seen them at work, and psychiatrists have seen them at work, and medical doctors have seen them at work, and psychologists have seen them at work. Everyone, ministers especially, have seen them at work. Everyone has seen these things at work in beautiful, wonderful ways. But never have we really known what was happening. All we knew was that we put positive thoughts in motion and positive results happened in our life. And sometimes we put positive thoughts in motion and negative things happen in our life. You know, what's that all about? That doesn't quite make sense. And of course, it doesn't make sense. You see, we lie to ourselves a great deal. We lie to ourselves and we say that we always speak positive words. We always say positive things. We always say loving, gentle, wonderful things, okay? But do we? Do we? We don't. We let negative things creep into our consciousness, and then as they creep into our consciousness, they overwhelm all the positive ideas we might have had. I am a wonderful person. I feel great today. I feel wonderful today. And then all of a sudden you learn that your dog died, you know. Dogs that you had for years, loved you. And, my dog, you know, and because you love your dog so much. And so you let that negative emotion overwhelm you and tear you to pieces. And people love it. People love it. What is it that people do? They love to grovel in muck. They love to grovel in death. Death is one of the most fun things that anyone can ever have. Death. People love death. They want to announce death to all the world. And they put a black armband, remember? Europe was famous for black armbands. America did pretty well for a long time too, until nobody paid any attention to it. What are you grieving about? You lost your husband? Go get another one, you know? What the heck? Life's too short to get worried about it, you know? You lost your child? Go have another one, you know? And if you can't have them, adopt one. There's a lot of them out there that love to have a home as nice as yours. You lost your dog? My gosh! Wasn't it wonderful that he was in your household for as long as he was and had such a good time there? Now, what kind of dog are you going to get next? Another one? What kind of dog are you going to get next? You know, you look just like a Pekingese. You should really have a dog, a Pekingese dog, because you look like a Pekingese. You know, you have the Pekingese look about you. Well, what does a Pekingese look like? Well, a Pekingese looks like a very proud and a very capable person, a person who is just confident in himself and just going out to the world and saying, I'm a Pekingese and I'm walking through here and make way, you know? That's what a Pekingese is. A lot of people say a Pekingese is a terrible looking dog. And a Pekingese is not attractive, pug nose and all that kind of stuff. But a Pekingese is a positive little pup. He's got confidence. So if you need to build up self-confidence, get yourself a Pekingese. And they'll help you learn to have self-confidence. And it's true. It's true. And so you had a bulldog before. But the bulldog was a sissy. You know? He was a sissy. Everybody comes around, and the bulldog runs back in the house. Hey, there's somebody out there. Get him out of there. That's not my people. I don't want anybody in my yard. It's not my people. He won't bark at him. He just goes and tells his dad, you know. He says, "Arf, arf, Dad, take care of him," you know. And Dad goes out, as he does for all the children, and takes care of it, you know. Now, you see, people love to announce death. Oh, they love to parade the dead body through town. They love to make baskets for it and burials for it and monuments for it and all these sort of things. And what sort of monument did your father leave when he died? What sort of monument did your mother leave to the world when she died, you know? What did your aunt leave who's very, very rich, you know? And what sort of monument did she leave? Well, my aunt was quite a crafty lady. And you know what that old bitch did? She spent it all before she died. She spent all her money before she died. Well, that's terrible. She had millions. Sure, you know, she traveled a lot. We thought that she was just being frugal, you know, and staying at the reasonable places. She was at the top dog places. She was at the pup. She's at the pup hotel in, where is it, Czechoslovakia or something like that, you know. And she had the presidential suite whenever she went someplace. She was no fool. She made the money, she enjoyed the money, and she passed on, she died to another dimension, leaving this slate clean as a whistle. No grandchildren, no children, no anybody. They didn't have any debts. She kept her purse pretty well taken care of, but there was no money. Nothing left. And her property, you know what she did with the property? She had sold it and mortgaged it and what have you to the hilt so that it wasn't worth a thing by itself. Anybody who wanted it, they had to take over the mortgage. It wasn't a free and clear property. What? She is a crafty old girl. Oh, I tell you, what a wise lady. She made it, she spent it. She made it, she had fun. And that's what we should do. Now, but what do we do? We go around crying, oh, Grandpa's so sick, Grandpa's so sick. Peg Carter, lovely lady, loved her to pieces. She and her husband were super guys. And I knew them in Minneapolis, and they owned half the city of Minneapolis. They're just multi-billionaires. Super lady, super man, super. And he was in good health. And everything's going along just fine. But all his life, he worked his heart out. He just worked like a Trojan. And they didn't travel. They didn't go anywhere. They stayed at home. When they traveled, they lived in very inexpensive places, you know. And so, instead of spending the money while he was alive and while he was enjoying himself, what happens? She says, dear, when you retire, we're going to travel. Well, they retired, and he had a stroke, and he was incapacitated. He had to be in a wheelchair, and he couldn't do anything. He couldn't talk. He couldn't do anything. But she said they were going to go on traveling, so they went traveling. And she took him in the wheelchair and went all over the world. And what a drag. You know, I mean, it would have been smarter for him if he just died straight off instead of living in a wheelchair. But he was trying to tell his wife something. He was trying to say to his wife, Peggy, dear, spend it, spend it, spend it. You know, this may happen to you, and then you won't have it, you know, you won't have enjoyed all of it. But she still can't spend it. Oh, she's got big ranches, and she's got horses, and she's got this and that, but she still loves to clip coupons in the newspapers to save money. Yeah, that's just her way. That's just her habit. Lovely lady, I love her dearly, but I think, Peggy, spend it. The day will come soon when your sons and your daughter-in-laws and what have you, well, they'll have it, and they'll know what to do with it because they've been waiting for you to release the money. It'd be smart if you release it now and let them have it. And you see, this is what we do. We don't know how to create affirmations. Now, if I were the two sons, or three sons, of Peggy Carter, my affirmation would be, I am independently wealthy. I am independently wealthy. And that's a possibility, isn't it? It's a possibility. If Mama croaks, they got it. If Mama lives and gives it to them, they got it. If they don't, they still got it. But they put the cause in motion. I'm independently wealthy. I'm independently wealthy. Not going against anything or for anything. Just, I'm independently wealthy. Then it opens up for them. It opens up for them. Do you think if you had a lot of money that you'd know how to spend it? And you say, oh, sure, really, I sure would. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't know how to spend it because you have not taught yourself how to do it. You've not taught yourself that you're independently wealthy. And when you're independently wealthy, you buy what you want when you want it and enjoy it, but you don't splurge it, you don't throw it out. You just enjoy it. You just enjoy it. Heinz, if you were enjoying your independent wealth that you have, if you were enjoying it, and you found six beautiful people who were your butler, your maid, your housekeeper, your gardener, your chauffeur, and your chef. There's six. That's a nice group, huh? And each one should receive approximately $1,000 a month, maybe $2,000 a month. Yeah, but each one should get it. And you say, hey guys, as long as you're on my team, and as long as you deliver the goods of being the type of people you are right now, the very best maid, the very best chef, etc., as long as you continue that way, I will pay you each $10,000 a month. Ah! Now, do you think they can continue giving their skills that they gave at $1,000 or $2,000 a month for $10,000 a month? Do you think they can continue giving the same exquisite skills? They can if they're wise. And of course, you have a little talk with them too. You say, look, you don't deliver the goods, you're fired. I'll hire somebody else. I'll hire somebody else for $1,000 or $2,000 a month. But if you can deliver the goods, I like to share my wealth with you. But I don't give it away. I will pay well for services rendered, and you do your job well, and I'll pay you well. Now, those six people could never have dreamed that that would happen to them. They thought they would be paid as any normal staff people are at any residence where they're working. You understand? Now, why not? We need to build up our consciousness. We need to build up our self-consciousness. We have to build up our self-confidence. We have to build up our awareness that we are independently wealthy. And it has nothing to do with anything outside of us. Nothing. Nothing whatsoever. Now, I heard Ingeborg this morning in the kitchen having a little bit of unhappiness there, and I thought, Ingeborg, I am going to put you into a wheelchair so that you are paraplegic, you know, you cannot move your arms and legs, and you're in a wheelchair, and people serve you and do things, and they leave you in your room most of the time because they don't want you around. And I'm going to give you that opportunity because you seem to be fighting for your right to be unhappy. And so if you want to be unhappy, I will give you the right to be unhappy, but not in my sight. I'll put you in your wheelchair in your room. And you say, Herb, that's not very nice. Herb, that's naughty. No, that's right. That's right. I do not destroy people or hate people, but I do not allow people in my world who cannot control their emotions, who cannot be master of themselves, who cannot take charge of their world and say, hey, this is who I am, you know, and who will not allow themselves to be pissed off by anybody they think is less than they are. If you let someone piss you off who you think is nothing, who you think is dirt, you are really dirt. You know what I mean? Now, this goes for all of you. Don't feel self-righteous about this here, because any time you let someone push your button, they are better than you are. They're much better than you are. They can get you upset and angry. Don't ever let anyone push your button. You push your own buttons. And you push your button by saying, I'm independently wealthy. I like me. I am divine order. I am peace. You see, you are the master of yourself. Now, if you don't want to play the game, if you don't want to play this game, this is what we teach here. If you don't want to play this game, then you won't be here. And I mean that. You won't be here, because I will not tolerate anybody letting somebody else push their buttons and then get upset about it. You know? I will not tolerate anybody letting someone else push their buttons and then get upset about it. What a silly thing to do! It just shows that you're inferior. And I guess you are inferior when you let somebody else push your buttons. Or you don't really let somebody else push your buttons. You create them pushing it. You say, here's my button. I'm going to do what I want to do. Here's my button. You know, go ahead, ignore my button. Go ahead, ignore my button. Now, like Sylvia this morning, she was saying, gangway, I'm coming through. Well, the chair was sticking out in the aisle. She could have pushed the chair in, and she would have had 3 feet to walk through. But Sylvia is such a fat person, she needs 10 feet, you know. And so she wanted to get everybody out of her way. Now, but hey, always act as though the world is yours. And Sylvia, that table is yours. Those chair, and that was your chair that was sticking out too. You know, silly, silly, silly. Shove it in. Shove it in. And Ingeborg, she was standing inside the chair with the chair sticking out. Nobody could walk through that. And I thought, my goodness sakes, what a bunch of clowns we got here. And there's not even a circus in town. You know? What a shame. What a shame. But hey, you know, we'll overlook it for a while. And then after a while, we'll just, you know, if you don't use your feet, you lose them. If you don't use your hands, you lose them. If you don't use your head, you lose it. And this is true. If you do not use all of your facilities, and you have them, very good facilities, if you don't use all your facilities, you're in trouble. Gregor told me this morning that their friends gave them a piano, and a nice piano. And this guy loved to play the piano. And whenever he sat down at the piano, he played real well and enjoyed it very much. And Gregor says, I must learn how to play the piano. And so he has this piano. He has somebody else's hand-me-down, a piece of junk that the other guy didn't want, a piece of absolute junk that the other guy didn't want. And it was a brand new piano, but it was a piece of junk for him because he wanted a grand piano. He wanted to step up a few notches because he had the money and could afford it. And he wanted to buy the best. Well, Gregor says to himself, if I were going to start out to learn to play the piano, and I want Bailey to have lessons, and Rochelle can have lessons too, but she learns so quickly she'd outshine me, so I want to be careful of that. But anyhow, I want to have a nice piano. You know what he'd do? He'd go down to the used piano store and buy the very piano that this man is giving him. Because this piano that this man is giving him is the best. The best in its range. It is perfectly tuned. It is perfectly done, and this man can afford it. It's fantastic. But if Gregor thinks that he got a hand-me-down, he's going to treat it like a hand-me-down. If Gregor looks at that piano and he says, I just got myself my dream fulfilled of this beautiful piano. I always wanted one, you know. I always wanted one. I always wanted one. I always, hey, and lo and behold, he got it. That's called affirmations, you know. But he didn't get just an ordinary piano that he always wanted. He got the top of the line. I bought my wife a piano, and it was a piano that was a special piano, very special. It was a nice little upright, and she still has it. And it was a piano that some movie actor played on. Some movie actor used it in the movie that he was in, you know. And I forget, Yehudi Menuhin or something like that. Some very, very, very competent actor and musician. And that was the piano that he had. Well, I was able to buy it when I was in Newport Beach. And so I said to my wife, would you like to have this piano? And she's just a little upright, you know. And I said, well, it's a piano that this actor and this musician. Oh, well, from then on, it was not that piano. It was his piano. I mean, you ask her whose it was, and she'll tell you. And she says, that is a quality piano. That is the best. That is, you know. And you see, it could have been a piece of junk, you know. It could have been a total piece of nothing. It wasn't. It was a nice piano, but it could have been junk. But since he played on it, since this wonderful pianist and actor played on it, he put his blessing on it. He put his love on it. Now, my wife wanted a piano, and I gave her the choices. And there were several other pianos that looked nicer, that were a little bigger, but they didn't have his name on it. And she was very taken by who had been playing on that piano. And she still has it today, and it's interesting. But you see, these are the things. And whenever she plays on it with respect for that guy who played on it. You know, it's in her mind always that this is the piano that this major musician played at. Fantastic, you know? Fantastic. But these are the things that happen in our life. Are you ready to pay your staff 10 times more than what you would normally pay them? Or is $1,000 a month and $10,000 a month 10 times more? Is that larger than that? What's our mathematical figure? I'm sorry?
5 times.
5 times. 5 times more?
2,000 times 5 is 10,000.
Well, you're saying 2,000. I put it back at 1.
Oh. Well, then we go 10.
Then it's 10,000. Yeah, 10 times. Yeah, okay. No, that's right. It's 5 times. Okay, so, but that's neat. That's neat. Heinz, might you do such a thing?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Is that your nature?
Sure.
Yeah? Is that how you pay your people in living light candles? Yeah? That's great. Well, anyhow, I'm saying this not to throw any brickbats, but just to say, whatever level of abundance you can conceive of yourself being in, that's the type of abundance you will be in. They said of Bill Gates a number of years ago that he could not take time to bend down and pick up a $500 bill off the floor because he earned more than it takes that second to pick that up doing all the things he does, you know. I don't know. What does he earn a second? I would say maybe he earns about $1 or $2 million a second. At least that. It has to be, you know. $1 or $2 million a second. Can you imagine? I mean, do you have that in your consciousness at all? $1 or $2 million a second is let's say $2 million a second is what he earns. That's neat, huh? And it doesn't mean a thing to us. We can't visualize that. I'm going to pay you how much I earn every second. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. I accept. You know? Wow-wee. And my son, I'm giving you an allowance of 5 seconds worth of my time.
Wow.
5 seconds worth of your time, Dad. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Let's see, that's 2 fives of 10. That's $10 million every week. I didn't say week, I said month. I don't know, Dad, allowances are given in the week, you know. But you see, dream imaginatively, dream big, dream, let your affirmations have some foundation beneath them. Think about this. Now, Irene,
yes?
We're going to buy you a Pekingese. We're going to buy you a baby Pekingese, just a little runt, just a little ugly, ugly, ugly thing, you know. And you're going to take a hold of that ugly little Pekingese dog and you're going to say, you are the nicest, cutest, most wonderful thing in the world. Now, somebody's got to say it. Now, where do you think the Pekingese gets all that self-confidence? By everybody who looks at it and says, I got to say something nice. And so that little Pekingese is making everybody say things nice about it. And in the same light, when people say things nice about somebody else, like the Pekingese, they're saying something nice about themselves. Can you see how that works? You see how that works? Do you see how that works, Irene? Not really.
I'm not totally sure if I got the whole point.
What's that?
I'm not sure if I got the whole...
The point is, I said before, the Pekingese is the most self-confident dog in the world. Ugly but self-confident. The Pekingese thinks that it is the greatest thing that ever walked on the face of the earth. You know that? Now, is that self-confidence? Is that self-confidence? Yes, I would say so. Okay, now, everybody who contributes to the Pekingese's self-confidence builds self-confidence within themselves, because they are looking at appearances and lying their silly head off. They're looking at that Pekingese and they say, you're a beautiful little dog. You're a lovely little dog. And now, Irene, we create our own illusion. We create our own world. Do you think that Margaret Truman thought that she was a good pianist? Margaret Truman is the daughter of President Truman. And President Truman took over, he had two terms, and he was the most amazing man. He followed Roosevelt. And Truman, everybody thought he was a nothing, a loser, and he won. He won twice. Well, his daughter was a teenager at the time, and she was taking music lessons, and Harry played a little bit too. And she played the piano, and she was not good. She was okay, but she was not good. And, of course, the press made a big to-do over, everybody made a big to-do over this child prodigy, who was far from being a prodigy. But she played, and she went on stage. She went in Carnegie Hall. She went in places that no person with her talent should ever be allowed, you know? But she went, and everybody said something nice about her because the war was ending and Truman was taking on a very tough task of bringing the nation together as a peaceful nation and so forth, and they wanted to make him happy with his daughter and make him happy with his wife Tess and everything else and Bess, and it was just a really a very loving time. And so this daughter, who couldn't play worth a darn, played in front of places you'd just never imagine. And she was a very common-looking girl. She had no beauty marks about her. She's not a bad girl. I mean, she's just a normal, nothing-looking girl, you know. And if you saw her on the street, you wouldn't pay any attention to her, you know. She just was that kind of person. But she was the president's daughter at a very special time, and all the world, all the, even the Queen of England had her play one time. But the thing is, it was all a bigger picture. A bigger picture, and the bigger picture evolved out of it. The bigger picture was that all of the countries in the world were saying, what a lovely girl, what a lovely way to play the piano. And Harry played the piano too, fairly decent, even better than his daughter. And he would sit down at the piano at press conferences, waiting for people to begin. He didn't care, you know. And he played, you know, pretty snappy little stuff. Nothing concert-wise, but... And so everybody tuned in on him, you know. And then he says, all right, let's get this goddamn thing underway. And they say, wow, you talk like that? You're the president of the United States? He says, yes, I do. I don't miss words. Let's get going now. And so, but he was nice, and he was fair, and he was honest, and he was good, and he was a very excellent president, very excellent president. And he minced no words, and people knew they could depend on him. And they said, he had a plaque on his desk, and it said, the buck stops here. Everybody's passing the buck, wanting someone else to do the ugly jobs, the irresponsible jobs. And he said on his desk, the buck stops here. So whatever difficult task that needs to be done, he'll do it. And he did. And he did it well, because he didn't care. He just was himself and having fun. Before he became a congressman, he worked in a hat shop. He was a haberdasher, you know, and he sold hats. And lived in Missouri, and just a common, nice guy. But again, what I'm saying to you is, can you make a silk purse out of a sow's ear? And you certainly can. It's done all the time. It's done all the time. Who is it? Gregor, I think, told me about the silk stockings. Who was that? Who told me about the silk stockings? You? But anyhow, somebody told me yesterday, I believe, about the makers of silk stockings. And they made these silk stockings before the war and during the war. And the silk stockings were made so excellent that they never had runs. They never had a problem. The silk stockings just wore and wore and wore and wore and wore. They never wore them out. The ladies just pulled them on, and they were tight, they fit firmly, and they were very nice. They were a little saggy here or there sometimes, but basically they were good, and they never wore out. And so what happened? They built obsolescence into the silk stockings. They got runs. They wore out. They built that into it because they could not make any money on having things just always be working. And so this is what they did. And then they made nylon stockings, which were much cheaper than silk, but they ran twice as often as the silk. But nonetheless, you see, this is what we do. Now, did they make a silk stocking that was perfect at first? Yes, quite nice. And did they realize they weren't making money off it, so they changed it? Did they make cars in the beginning that ran forever? Yes. These cars that ran forever, did they have problems? No. You could take your car, Irene, and you could drive it down the street, and if the brakes didn't work, you turned it into a tree, and the tree made the car stop. And you jerk a little bit, there's no seat belts or anything like that, but the car would stop. And there would not be a dent in that car. Not one dent. That's made out of iron and steel. Nothing happened at all to that car because it was built like a tank, like a tank, like a truck, you know. And little by little, they built obsolescence into the cars and into the trucks and into these things because they couldn't make any money when things didn't change. You see? And so this is how it works. Oh, I get a fresh glass? How nice. My gosh. I put the cause in motion. As I looked at this, I thought, you know, it could have been a tall glass, but I know she's not going to give me a tall glass because I talk with my hands, you know. And if it's a tall glass, it's in the range. And a short glass like this, it's safe. And so, I mean, Ellen is really quite a master at this here. She does forget at times to refill it and to put fresh water in there, but I know she does that for her dog too. She forgets to put fresh water in, so I don't feel too bad about it at all. But you know, it's kind of nice. So, all right, now here we are with learning affirmations, and you look at me askant. You look at me thinking I'm stupid when I tell you how these affirmations work and how beautifully they work. But they do work. They do function, and they do function beautifully. But you have to make up your mind what affirmations you're going to make. Well, Herb, why are you making the affirmation that Ingeborg and Sylvia have their little to-dos about something occasionally? Why are you making an affirmation on that? That's a good question. Why am I making affirmations on it? What does a policeman do when a policeman sees you violate the rule? He gives you a ticket, doesn't he? He doesn't say, you're naughty, you're bad, you're evil, you're terrible. He just says, you violated this rule, here's a ticket. And then you say, I didn't violate any rule, get the hell out of here. And he says, oh, that's obstructing justice, so we're going to give you another ticket. But you're a blah, 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 and swears a little. Oh, using bad language to an officer, oh, that's another disrespect to the uniform. Oh, so we'll give you another ticket. Well, by the time you get done, because you are so insensitive, you've got a dozen tickets, you know? And then, to top it all off, when Daddy is angry or Mama's angry, the pet in the back seat leaps forward and grabs the officer by the leg and hangs on his leg, you know? And he says, oh, boy, oh, boy, the dog's not under leash, you know? And stuff like that. And, you know, there's all sorts of things. Well, not only a dozen, you have two dozen tickets. And you say, that's unfair, you know. And It's not unfair. You see, when you violate a law, you violate a rule, you violate a principle, you get a comeuppance, you get a ticket, you get told you can't do that, and you shouldn't do that. And then if you still do it, what's the best thing to do? If you ever make a mistake, say, "I'm sorry." That's something that you haven't learned to say here, but say, "I'm sorry." If you ever made a mistake, and you may not think you made a mistake, but I think you made a mistake, and I said, "You made a mistake," just say, "I'm sorry." And then, what did I do? You know, but "I'm sorry." First, say, "I'm sorry." Put the shoe on the right foot. In other words, "I'm in charge." Then we'll talk about it. But if you say, "I didn't do anything wrong, you stupid old man, what do you think you're doing telling me I did something wrong?" You know, and right away, we don't have any beneficial work. That's what happens with your friendly white stem cells in your brain. The moment you get all uptight, they think being uptight is the thing to do. And can you imagine your emotions, your life, your body, all your cells, your body, tense and upset, all because of not being able to say, "I'm sorry"? Not being able to say, "I'm sorry"? I have told you, and I will tell you this many times more, San Francisco is south of San Diego. And you say, "Wow, is he off the beam?" Instead of saying, "Herb, you are such a creative thinker. That is very interesting. San Diego, south of San Francisco, south of San Diego. You know, that would put it right into Mexico, and it would bring the whole Silicon Valley community down into this Mexican area, and then this man who is in Mexico, the richest man in the world, could begin to invest in San Francisco, south of the border. Wouldn't that be fast? Hey, and the area that had been San Francisco isn't San Francisco now, but what is it? Oh, it is a great big sports arena. A great big sports arena, as big as the city of San Francisco, going down to the beach and having year-round sports activities of great nobility. The annual Olympics is held in this sports arena at the Golden Gate Park there, you know. And, you know, every year, Herb, when are you ever going to cool it a little bit? Your imagination runs away with you. This is what I'd like each of you to do. I'd like each of you to let your imagination run away with you, but constructively. Let it run away with you where it benefits you, where it is something good for you. You each are masters. You're masters par excellence. You are beyond any recognition by anything. You are so great when it comes to saying, "I don't feel good." When it comes to saying, "I hurt," when it comes to saying, "Things aren't going along right," when it comes to saying any kind of a negative thing, you know how to do it beautifully. You have the best vocabulary in town for saying it. Now, I would like to recommend that you write your vocabulary down completely, and then you sell it to me and agree never to use it again. I'll pay big for it, but sell it to me and never use it again. And you know what I'll sell it for? I'll sell it to the plants that produce energy for the world, and we won't need any more gas or electricity or any of the propane things to create power, because I will have all of these negative ideas that you've been willing to give up to generate all that power. Wow. The whole world would operate on the power of the energy the negative energy that you had been using but no longer are. But what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? You're going to take that same concept of negative energy and put it on positive energy. That same concept that said, "I'm sick, I'm unhappy," and so on, and put it on, "I am happy, I'm healthy. Everything in my world is going great. Everybody in my world is fantastic. Everything in my world is just supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. And you say it, 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 and you say it. I like me, 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 I like me. I'm divine order, 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 I'm divine order. I'm peace, 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 and just say it and say it and say it and say it and say it, and so there's nothing in your heart, nothing in your mind, nothing in your being other than those wonderful, positive, dynamic words. Nothing. It works. It works powerfully and wonderfully. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. In other words, the teacher of positive thinking says, what's negative thinking to thee? Follow positive thinking. If you want to follow the negative thinking, we can call that the devil's thinking, you know. It's a nice term for it, you know. If you want to follow negative thinking, it's going to just take you, you know, out of the picture of positive things. You will not be independently wealthy. You'll be wealthy because of something. That's why we are disposing of the word because whenever possible. We are disposing of the word because, since, because the word because allows us to blame something else. And we don't want to blame anything. I'm independently wealthy because, who cares? I'm independently wealthy. I'm whole and perfect. Because why? Because I'm thinking positive thoughts? No, no. Because I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. I don't call that a positive thought. I call that my reality. I am a happy person. Why? Because I'm a happy person. I don't have any becauses. The minute I have because, then I think it's kind of weak, you know. Kind of weak and doesn't stand up for itself. This is what each of us want to do. We want to live our life so fantastically that we can do it. Now, there's an article that, who is it that sent it to us? Mark. Mark sent that to us. My son. And in it, it's from NASA. It's called Tech Briefs Insider. NASA Tech Briefs Insider. And in this edition, sponsored by Fluid Metering and Omron STI, they have 4 points here. Scientists uncover mechanism that causes fear. Mechanism that causes fear. Nanoscale activators power robotic movement at the molecular level. Fascinating, huh? Enter your invention in the Create the Future Design Contest. And the fourth question of the week, are PDAs impacting our work-life balance? Well, now, we're going to look at scientists uncover mechanism that causes fear. Okay. It's under http://link.abpi.net/1.php?270723a1. Got that? So,
oh, yeah.
You put that on your computer, and this is what you'll get. And I'll show you the picture here. You probably can do better than this here. But it's, this is the lady scientist that found this information. MIT IDs mechanisms behind fear. Work could lead to the first drug for post-traumatic stress disorder. This is researchers from MIT's PICOWR Institute for Learning and Memory have uncovered a molecular mechanism that governs the formation of fears stemming from traumatic events. The work could lead to the first drug to treat the millions of adults who suffer each year from persistent debilitating fears, including hundreds of soldiers returning from conflict in the Arab in Iraq and Afghanistan, etc. So here's what they said here. This is taken from back there. Formation of fear. Researchers from MIT's PICOWR Institute for Learning and Memory have uncovered a molecular mechanism that governs the formation of fears stemming from traumatic events. The work could lead to the first drug to treat the millions of adults who suffer from debilitating fears, including hundreds of soldiers with traumatic post-traumatic stress disorders, PTSD, and one of our students is working in this area, Donald Stekdab. He has been working with the returning veterans on balancing their fear situation, who are returning from service in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now, here is the point to remember. The researchers showed that inhibiting a kinase enzymes that change proteins called CDK5 facilitates the extinction of fear learned in a particular context. Conversely, the learned fear persisted when kinase activity was increased in the hypothalamus, the brain's center for storing memories. Emotional disorders such as post-traumatic stress and panic attacks stem from inability of the brain to stop experiencing the fear associated with a specific incident or series of incidents. For some people, upsetting memories of traumatic events do not go away on their own, or may even get worse over time. The researchers found that some of the molecular machinery that governs encoding the troubling memories also regulates their extinction. Okay, now, what does this mean to you and to me? Well, what it means to us is that this kinase substance in our body, basically in our brain, is put off or produced by some aspect of the body. It doesn't say how it comes to be. The kinase research, the inhibiting K-I-N-A-S-E, kinase enzymes that change proteins. They come obviously from an enzyme creating entity within the body. CDK5 facilitates the extinction of fear learned in particular context. Okay, now, that's a fascinating thing. Now, why has science come up with this discovery? And, as we read, they have come up with that discovery because there is a need for it. Yesterday we read in the article that they will come up with chips for the brain to help you facilitate the brain to become extremely brilliant and so forth, but they will not work on those chips so long as there is a demand in other areas. So now the area that had a demand of the prisoners, these men and women coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan who have these tremendous war traumas going on. Now, that's in every war. That's in every war. Maybe not so serious because we are now more aware of what's going on in the war than we have been before because of the television and so forth, but it's in every war. So, but why are we aware of it? Because scientists were given the job to find out how they could balance the chemical condition of a soldier returning from a war zone who is filled with currently created fears. Fears that are, here they go, shooting people, boom, 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 and because they're the enemy, you know, and they can shoot so many now, you know. Before, in the First World War and in the Civil War and other wars, they couldn't shoot so many because they had to take time to load the gun. And really, you know, they couldn't do as much damage. Now, you know, and your gun's not even hot. It's amazing. And my goodness, that would be enough to take any any responsible human being who respects life and respects himself and others, that, I mean, my God, I'm taking human beings and I'm slaughtering them, and if I did this at home with just one person and shot with a gun, I'd go to prison for life, you know. And here I'm saying it's okay to do it. Now, why is it okay here and not okay at home? You know, and they go crazy. They come home and they think, yeah, this is, I'm living in a mixed up world. I'm living in a world that's wrong. And then over there, sometimes they have to take women and children and shoot them too, because they're carrying guns and trying to stop people. And they've never been taught to be violent with women and children, you know. They've been taught to be gentle, taught to be human. And the type of things that they're teaching them in war today, I think the wars have gotten out of hand. And then we ought to call them to a halt. And I think what we should do is just have everything be peace from now on. Peace in all the world. And that's all. But here we got, they found out this Kinesis material that handles proteins. And what is that saying? That just says, what is the enzyme? What is the gland that secretes the enzyme that puts this kinase into the system? What is that gland? They know what it is. They didn't say what it was, but they know what it is. And how can you balance that gland out? Well, you have to be careful in balancing that gland out, because that gland not only puts out the kinase, it puts out 3,000 or 300,000 other little tinctures of material that do other things to the body, that help the body blood flow, helps the, it does thousands of things. But you see, you're working with a very delicate area, and that's why they're very careful not to say all the things that they know. Because if they say all the things that they know, people will go around misusing it. Now, we know that we can speak our word and we can bring about health in our body. We know that from the psychological point of view and from the psychiatric point of view, we can treat and know by changing thoughts in our mind, changing attitudes in our thinking system, and bring about wholeness and bring about health in our body. We can do that. We can do that, and it's been done. I gave you illustrations yesterday and the day before on those things, and we'll be having more. But the big thing is, what does this all mean? Well, what it all means is, as of the moment, we are intelligently working on ourselves in a sort of intelligent way. Instead of saying, I'm whole and perfect, we say, my toe is whole and perfect. Instead of saying, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body, we say, my stomach feels better now. Now, that's okay. That's better than a kick in the head, you know. But the thing is, the moment you are particularized, the moment you're particularized, you're working with kinesis here, you're working with this fear syndrome. Now, the fear syndrome is not because of a chemical imbalance in the body of some chemical. It's true the chemical will balance out that condition, but it didn't happen because of that chemical. You're increasing that chemical, like if a person has mental breakdown, you give them pills to help balance their mental attitudes. You give them pills which make them relax and be at peace. Now, that does not solve the problem. That does not solve the problem. Never can, never will. But it makes them acceptable to live in society for themselves and for society. Because society, can you imagine having a bunch of returned Iraqi and Afghanistan military from our military forces here in the United States coming back here, and then the fellas are at the bar having a drink with their friends, and then one guy says, oh yeah, blah, to you. And so the guy says, what did you say? He says, oh, blah, blah. He says, you know, when I was in Iraq, no one dared say anything like that to me. Ah, blah, blah. And he pulls out his gun, shoots him, and then they say, you can't do that. Well, in Iraq, yes, you can, but here, no, you can't. Now, you know? That's why these people have all of these wrong ideas. We have not got to the base of the problem. We teach the song, there now is peace on earth, and it began with me. Wonderful song. We teach the song, there now is peace on earth, and it don't look any further, and it began with me. And in teaching that song, we are teaching balance, order, harmony, peace, love, truth, respect, and joy. Now, we're teaching all those things. Now, if you were to take any one of those ingredients away, you might upset the balance of the peace. So, you say, there now is peace on earth, and it began with me, with my harmony, my peace, my joy, my... Okay, now, here, if they work with this kinesis here, and they find that that will de-traumatize these people who are traumatized, that might be a help, but it's no solution. The solution is what you and I can do. The solution is we can say, there now is peace on earth, and it began with me. There now is peace on earth, and it began with me. Now, Ingeborg,
yes, sir.
When is this peace going to happen?
Now.
Where is it going to happen?
Here, everywhere.
Here and everywhere. That peace is uber alles. That peace is everywhere. That peace is the peace that passeth all understanding. And you see, Heinz, if you could get those terror thoughts out of your mind and only have in your mind peace thoughts, you know what would happen? There'd be peace on earth. You're causing war in the world. You're causing unhappiness in the world by not getting yourself in order. And the same with you, Greg. When you came here, you had a few, I can't do this, I never had that, this don't work. And when you leave here, you won't have those statements anymore. Because they don't belong to you anymore. I bought them. I own them. I own them.
Disposer?
Huh?
Do you have a disposer that eliminates them?
Don't you worry what I do with them. Don't you worry what... I told you before what I was doing with them. What did I say I was doing with them?
Make energy!
Pure energy for the world. And you want to know what another word of that is? Anybody can even take a guess at what it might be? What another word of that pure energy might be?
Sense of unconditional love.
Light. Sun. The sun. Just like the pure, wonderful sun makes energy and power. And little by little we're not capturing it, we're using it. Can you recycle the sun's energy? No way. Do you want to recycle the sun's energy? No way. Do you want to use it to whatever degree you do? Fine. You know? Okay. This is what we do with war. We don't recycle it, but we move it into the big energy vat where it ceases to have individualization. It is now its original purity and integrity. Woo-hoo-hoo! And being its original purity and integrity, then what happens? Then it just goes on and on and on. In your lifetime, Heinz, will the sun's energy burn out?
No.
How about you, Greg? Anybody else? Will the sun burn out in your lifetime?
No.
Will there be enough sun for you to use for anything you want to use it?
Eternity.
Do you have the capacity now to not capture, but take and use a part of that sun?
Yes.
Could you sunize this whole campus?
Yes.
You like that word, sunize? Could you put the sun to work for the whole campus here?
Yes.
And why don't we do it? I'm sorry?
It's done.
Oh, okay, you heard that now. All right. Watch out, SDG&E, yeah? San Diego Gas and Electric. Okay, you charge a lot of money, pretty soon you won't have anybody to charge money to. Because what will we do? when we start making our energy, we'll make enough for our uses. But it's hard to not have overflow.
Well, they pay you back.
I'm sorry?
They pay you back.
Oh, we don't want to get paid back. I know they'll pay us back, but we don't want to get paid back. What?
You can sell it to them.
What?
You can sell it to them.
That's just what Gregor said. No, we don't want to get paid back. We don't want to sell it to them. What we would do, we would share. We would give the Thomases all the electricity that they'd want to use, and without limit. And we'd give Art and Julie and everybody else. We'd give David and his wife, everybody, all the electricity they want. The whole Far Valley would be lit. And the whole Far Valley would have beautiful streetlights up and down the paved streets, and they would have beautiful fountains here and there with water flowing and a big lake filled with trout and other fish that you don't fish for, you just look and enjoy, you know, and blah, 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 blah. But you see, that's what energy will do for you. Why will energy do that? Huh?
Because I created so.
Energy will do that because that's what we say energy will do. That's what we created it. Now, okay, what happens where you have trees? Rain comes. Now, what is it that NASA and other organizations do to make it rain?
Well,
they treat the clouds. Now, do you think we could take some of our energy from the sun and have it in our special reflective device that when the clouds go by above, we shine our reflectors on them and then they release the rain and water our valley? Wouldn't that be lovely?
Yeah.
People say, well, let's do that all over the world. Go ahead, be our guest, you know. We're just the openers, the ones who have the imagination to do it. But you got to have imagination. You got to have a dream to do it. Now, are you ready for that?
Uh-huh.
I think that's a good idea. And we'll probably take a little pause now so that you can go and piss and water the trees and a few things. So, I love you.